Good morning, and welcome to the Rockville Financial third quarter 2013 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Marlise Shaw. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our third quarter conference call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you to read our safe harbor advisement on forward-looking statements on our earnings announcement. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, are subject to risks and uncertainties. Certain factors could cause actual results to differ materially from expected results. Our comments today are intended to qualify for the safe harbor afforded by that advisement. Now I would like to introduce Bill Crawford, our Chief Executive Officer and President.
Thanks, Marlise. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on today's call and for your continued interest in our company. Yesterday afternoon, we released third quarter earnings. This morning, I'll provide some insight into the strategies that supported the company's record quarterly operating revenue, and then my team will provide a more detailed overview of the quarter and their business lines. With me this morning is John Lund, our CFO, Scott Bechtel, our Chief Risk Officer, Mark Cuccia, Head of Commercial Banking, Eric Newell, Head of Treasury and Corporate Strategy, Marino Santarelli, Chief Operating Officer, and Brandon Lorey, our Head of Consumer Lending. I'm pleased to announce that Rockville reported strong quarterly earnings of $0.18 per share, or $4.6 million during the third quarter. Third quarter earnings were driven by strong execution in the secondary mortgage market, increased loan level hedge income, strong commercial loan growth, and very solid residential mortgage production despite the current interest rate environment. Organic growth remained solid in the third quarter, as seen in both the 25% annualized growth rate for commercial lending and the 26% annualized growth rate for deposits. On an average balance perspective, the annualized growth rate for commercial loans was 36% and deposits were 21%. Rockville has experienced accelerated deposit growth since the opening of our West Hartford banking center in the first quarter. We're looking forward to continuing this positive momentum with the fourth quarter opening of our Hamden branch, our first full-service branch in New Haven County. In the third quarter, the company also announced a new branch location in North Haven, which we anticipate to be operational in the third quarter of 2014. Rockville will continue to seek opportunities for branch locations with substantial market share potential to support increased core deposit growth rates. The company's record quarterly revenue was supported by the evolving Financial Advisory Services division, our private banking division, and the recently introduced loan level hedge program, and the continued strength of our mortgage banking business. While the linked quarter residential mortgage production was down slightly, we're pleased that so much of the application volume is comprised of purchase mortgage business and that Rockville is still increasing market share. Application volume remains steady. However, we are cognizant that we're heading into a seasonal downturn in this business in the fourth quarter. The company continues to work thoughtfully in the best interest of shareholders to carefully balance investments in the company with current period profitability. As a result of this focus and the emphasis on cost containment, core operating expense has been relatively flat for the past five quarters. Any new hires are primarily in revenue-producing areas. This quarter, for example, the company's nine net new FTEs included two mortgage loan officers, one commercial banker, one cash management officer, and three team members for the new Hamden branch location. The company will continue to focus on controlling expenses and evaluating cost-saving measures. At Rockville, we remain committed to shareholder return and executing on sound capital management principles. The company recently announced its 30th quarterly dividend and has executed 39% of the company's second stock buyback program at the quarter end. Company's repurchased 4 million shares, bringing the share count down to 25.5 million at September 30, 2013. At this time, I'd like to personally thank our employees for their continued focus on delivering superior customer service every day, which is the driver to our success. Now I'd like to turn the call over to John Lund, our CFO, to provide some further detail on the quarter's results.
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our call today. I will review our third quarter operating results and financial position as described in our earnings release yesterday afternoon. Net income for the quarter ended September 30, 2013, of $4.6 million or 18 cents per share diluted, is largely reflective of the company's stable net interest income, continued success in the mortgage banking business, expansion of revenue drivers within the organization, and a well-controlled non-interest expense. Despite the extended low interest rate environment, Rockville's net interest income has reflected stability and even growth on a quarterly basis since the company's conversion in 2011. While the net interest margin has been negatively impacted since mid-2012, net interest income continues to grow due to the company's strong earning asset growth. On a linked quarter basis, pre-provision net interest income increased by $172,000, or 1%. Average earning assets grew by $100 million, or 5%, over the linked quarter. Mortgage banking continues to be a key contributor to the company's success. In the third quarter, the net gains from sale of loans of $1.7 million had increased from $1 million in the linked quarter. On an earnings per share basis, the effect of mortgage banking was a positive 5 cents per share. Year to date, net gains from sales of loans were $4.8 million as compared to $3.1 million for the first 9 months of 2012. This is a $1.7 million or 56% increase in net gains from sales over the prior year. We continue to observe narrow spreads in the market. However, these results reflect the company's ability to sell residential mortgages opportunistically and execute efficiently in the secondary market. The pipeline continues to be healthy. As our earnings release reflects, in addition to the increased revenues from the mortgage banking business, non-interest income has benefited from the expansion and development of the financial advisory business and the loan-level hedge program. These two programs together increased non-interest income by $300,000 or 4% on a linked quarter basis and increased year-to-date non-interest income by $1.1 million or 24% over the prior period. Non-interest expense declined by $1.1 million or 7% in comparison to the linked quarter. This decline is reflective of larger expenses incurred by the company in the second quarter of 2013 to eliminate legacy expenses that were creating inefficiencies and hindering profitability. The second quarter included $438,000 of salary and benefits expense and a $774,000 of occupancy and equipment expense related to the elimination of 9 redundant positions and the planned closure of a branch location, respectively. These expenses are non-recurring and therefore reflected positively on the third quarter results. Core operating expense, which eliminates the impact of those non-recurring items, increased by $275,000 or 2% and has been fairly flat over the past 5 consecutive quarters. The company will continue to seek and implement cost-saving measures. We were delighted to share the company's strong operating results with our shareholders by way of dividends, representing 57% of the company's earnings for the quarter. Rockville completed 39% of its second stock repurchase plan as of September 30, 2013. So far, execution on this plan has been favorable. Shares were repurchased at an average cost of $13.13, while the average trading price was $13.18. Including both stock buyback activity and dividends, the company has returned $7 million to its shareholders in the quarter. To conclude, we are pleased with the strong operating results for the quarter and the continued organic growth the company is experiencing. Going forward, we continue to focus on capital management, prudent growth, maintaining asset quality, and on seeking opportunities to mitigate interest rate risk. Eric Newell, our Head of Treasury and Corporate Strategy, will now provide further detail on the impact that the growing adjustable rate asset portfolio has had on the interest rate sensitivity position as of quarter end.
Thanks, John. Net interest margin during the quarter declined to 3.32% from 3.48% in the second quarter of 2013. Of the 16 basis point compression reported in the quarter, approximately 8 basis points are attributed to prepayment income realized during the second quarter that did not repeat in the third quarter, adjusting the margin compression to 8 basis points. For the last several quarters, we have spoken at length about our strategy to reduce the duration of our assets. The execution of the strategy is the main driver in the reduction of earning asset yields. Rather than increasing the duration of our assets to reach for yield, we are doing the opposite. This will better position the balance sheet for when interest rates rise, and we have evidence of this in our interest rate risk model output for the September quarter. Commercial loan yields fell 18 basis points during the quarter. Partially driving this compression is our loan-level hedging program. While serving as a strong fee generator for the company, it converts fixed-rate assets to floating rate, which typically have a lower yield at inception. During the quarter, the company added $50 million of floating-rate commercial loans. To a lesser extent, the residential portfolio also contributed to margin compression, with yields in that portfolio falling 6 basis points. On the funding side, our cost of interest-bearing funds declined 1 basis point. This illustrates the difficulty of matching falling yields with commensurate changes in our funding cost. The funding strategy remains unchanged, however. First, growing and deepening relationships with customers that include core, low, and no-cost transaction accounts. Second, respond to competitors with periodic pricing specials that incent customers to originate longer duration deposits, allowing us to incrementally increase the duration of our deposit base. And finally, using wholesale funding sources to remain relatively short, taking advantage of the anchored yield curve due to continued quantitative easing from the Federal Reserve Board. The steepening of the yield curve during the second quarter generally remained in the third quarter, and this strategy allowed for us to take advantage of the curve. As I previously mentioned, our interest rate risk modeling showed the effects of our strategy over the last several quarters. When we model a rise with interest rates, we do not include any growth of assets, which is a very conservative view as growth can obfuscate interest rate risk. The model output for the quarter showed half of the sensitivity to rising rates in the first year of our projection from what we reported in our June 30 quarter and model output. Importantly, in the second year of the model output, we show an increase of net interest income with a rise of interest rates. This reflects the addition of adjustable rate assets over the third quarter, as well as the $50 million notional forward-starting hedge that becomes effective in that second year, having the effect of increasing the duration of our liabilities. In short, while we cannot claim to be asset sensitive to rising interest rates, the liability sensitivity that we have previously reported has been reduced, and we see an inflection point to rising net interest income in our second year of modeling before we consider asset growth expectations. Looking to the fourth quarter, we expect compression of the NIM to be more muted than what we experienced in the third quarter, even when adjusting for the prepayment income realized during the second quarter. At this time, Mark will provide some further detail on the company's commercial banking business.
Thank you, Eric, and good morning, everyone. 2 consecutive quarters of strong growth in the commercial loan portfolio have resulted in a $125 million increase in the portfolio over that time, comprised of linked quarter growth of 6% in the third quarter and 7% in the second quarter. The $60 million of commercial loan growth in the third quarter was realized across both commercial real estate and C&I. The pipeline continues to be solid, boosted by the efforts of our private banking team and our C&I expansion west. We are pleased that we had the opportunity to add to the commercial team this quarter with the hiring of a strong commercial banker in the West Hartford market and a very experienced cash management officer in the New Haven market. We will continue to look for top commercial banking talent to increase our production capacity statewide. We have a track record of year after year solid commercial loan growth, and we believe that the current pipeline levels support a continuation of that trend. It is important to note, however, that the environment remains extremely competitive, and we will continue to exercise discipline around both credit and pricing. Rockville's asset quality remains strong and is top amongst its peer group by nearly every performance metric. Non-performing assets decreased by $1.3 million during the third quarter, bringing the ratio of non-performing assets to total assets down to 0.66%, and annualized net charge-offs are a very nominal 4 basis points. The commercial banking team increased its utilization of loan-level hedging during the third quarter, which will benefit the company from both an interest rate risk perspective and in providing additional fee income opportunities in an extremely competitive market. This program was introduced in the second quarter of 2013, and we believe it will continue to provide favorable results as the use of the program expands. Thank you. At this time, Marino will discuss results of retail deposit and financial advisory initiatives.
Thank you, Mark, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to share with you the continued success of our new West Hartford Banking Center. After only 8 months of operation as of September 30, 2013, deposits at this location have grown to $105 million and are comprised of strong growth in both retail and commercial deposits. The West Hartford branch has grown to the fifth largest deposit office in our 22-branch location network, and the company continues to see very strong momentum in this new market. Similar to our strategy in West Hartford, the company announced in the third quarter that it will be opening two retail banking locations in New Haven County. The Hamden location, which will open next month, will be a nearly 2,000-square-foot, full-service branch that will provide retail and commercial deposit loan products, investment advisory services, residential mortgage loans, and small business products. This retail banking presence by Rockville and Hamden will help support the successful and growing Hamden Loan Production Office while providing new and existing customers with convenient access to full-service banking. Also announced in the third quarter was the planned opening of a North Haven Banking Center. Like Hamden, the 5,000-square-foot North Haven office will be a full-service banking location, providing retail and commercial deposit and loan products, investment advisory services, mortgage loans, and small business products. This location is anticipated to open in the third quarter of 2014. Establishing a strong retail banking presence in this part of the state is an important pillar of the company's overall growth strategy that now extends along the 191 corridor from New Haven to Glastonbury and Harvard. I am pleased that investment advisory services will be featured at both of these new locations and will enhance this already much expanded business line. Rockville Financial Services was reorganized in the fourth quarter of 2012 and has realized significant revenue increases over the past four quarters. The company has added five very experienced investment advisors from local competitors to assist our customers with their financial planning needs, and together they have grown this business into a $1.2 million annual revenue stream thus far. The fee income from this business line for the entire year of 2012 was $383,000. The company will continue to expand in this area as opportunities to recruit experienced advisors arise. Customer service has always been a hallmark of Rockville Bank. The company is now closely measuring customer service to ensure continued success. We are currently using Greenwich Associates to survey our retail and commercial customers in order to monitor our service quality performance by branch and commercial banker. Early results are very favorable, with the vast majority of our customers indicating they would recommend Rockville Bank to an associate or family member. A particular note are the positive comments and very high ratings given when asked about their personal experience with individual branch and commercial bankers. Now I'd like to hand it off to Brandon Lurie for more information on the mortgage banking business.
Thank you, Marino, and good morning. As expected, with the increase in mortgage rates, our residential mortgage origination volume declined this quarter, driven largely by a drop in refinance activity. Mortgage production declined by 9% over the linked quarter and by 16% from the prior year period. That said, year-to-date activity remains favorable to the prior year due to the increased production capacity the company has developed over the last 18 months with the introduction of mortgage loan officers in the first quarter of 2012. Year-to-date 2013, the company has originated $222 million of residential mortgages, while for the first 9 months of 2012, the company originated $206 million during a heavy refinance market. Refinance volume declined to 43% of originations, down from 59% in the linked quarter and down from 61% in the third quarter of 2012. Conversely, purchase volume increased in the third quarter of 2013 to 57%, up from 41% in the linked quarter. The expansion of our mortgage loan officer team and the relationships with realtors has allowed the organization to successfully shift to a purchase market model, providing an opportunity for increased capacity and volume despite the recent rise in interest rates. If rates remain where they are today, we would expect lower origination volume in the fourth quarter, reflecting lower refinance volume and normal fourth quarter seasonality shifts in the purchase market. Now, despite these pressures, we continue to opportunistically seek mortgage loan officers to grow the business to meet our existing retail and commercial footprint demands. As of September 30th, 2013, I'm pleased to announce that the company has increased the number of mortgage loan officers to 17 from 15 in the linked quarter and from 12 at September 30th, 2012. At the same time, we've been diligently working to optimize our current structure to improve efficiencies and turnaround times. The number of underwriters, processors, and closers for this business has decreased to 18 at September 30th from 20 in the linked quarter and 24 in the prior period. Additionally, turn times have decreased considerably despite a growing pipeline and increasing complexity in our product suite. Increased production in 2013 has also translated to increased market share. During the third quarter, Rockville increased its mortgage market production market share in Harford County to 2.5% from 2.2% in the linked quarter and has moved to sixth place from eighth place. In Tallinn County, the company continues to hold the number one spot and increased market share to 11.1% in the third quarter from 10.1% in the linked quarter. The company also improved market share position in New Haven and New London counties, where we improved to 48th and 21st place from 61st and 22nd place, respectively. The company is also investigating additional product offerings to continue to drive volume and profitability. Rockville has begun to redesign the product and pricing structure of its home equity business, which has had very little activity over the last few years and has already seen an improvement in this sector as a result. As we ramp up the home equity production, we will expect to see some portfolio growth within those segments in the coming quarters. Gains on sales of loans to the secondary market increased by 73% in the third quarter over the linked quarter. The company has developed the expertise required to be an efficient and opportunistic seller of mortgages into the secondary market, and this will continue to be a significant driver to the company's profits. Thank you all for your time this morning, and now Bill, John, Mark, Eric, Scott, Marino, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Matthew Ferguson of Sandler O'Neill. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning.
Quick question for you. What was the dollar value of the loan pipeline at quarter end, and can you remind us what it was last quarter?
Which pipeline are we talking about, commercial or residential?
Yeah, well, I'll take both.
Okay. Brandon, I'll let you take that.
Sure. At third quarter 13, we were at 37, and we were at 39, give or take, in the end of the second quarter. So it was relatively flat. The mix is what's significantly different as we shifted from that refi to the purchase mix.
Mm-hmm. And then how about the commercial?
Yeah, the commercial pipeline after, two quarters of strong closings, there's an element of rebuilding there. The pipeline is good. It's sufficient to meet the company objectives. We expect good growth in the fourth quarter, probably tempered, I would say, from Q2 and Q3.
Okay. And can you give us a sense of what the complexion is in the commercial pipeline and also maybe the blended yield?
Sure. Mark, I'll let you take that.
Yeah, in the commercial pipeline, it is weighted now towards C&I. The yields, rates have come up pretty good since earlier in the year. So the yields are up a bit from our overall yields on the existing portfolio.
Okay. And then second, just transitioning over to the margin. Eric, I think you had mentioned that on a core basis, the way to look at it is the margin was down 8 bps linked, and that the compression should moderate you know, relative to that level. So am I seeing that the right way?
Yes.
Okay. And then just as far as operating expenses are concerned, is 14.8, you know, call it a good base, a good run rate moving forward, or do we start to see that kind of, well, continue to softly grow?
We really focus on operating leverage, and so we're trying to look at where our revenues are and keep our expenses in line. So we're always looking at cost-saving ideas. For example, I believe we announced we did something with our ESOP and our 401k that'll reduce expense $1.2 million next year. But as you can see, we have some additional branches coming on. And so really it's more around maintaining positive operating leverage when we think about expenses. As you can see, we've been relatively flat, I would say, for the last five quarters or so.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Damon DelMonte of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, Damon.
My first question, just dealing with the loan level hedge program that you have, does that show up in the other income from the and non-interest income on the balance on the income statement?
Loan level hedge income shows up as I think it's in the service charge area, so it's not in the margin.
Okay. So service charges and fees, that line item?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. And just from a modeling perspective, I want to kind of know where it was, where it was included. And then I guess with regard to that program, could you just maybe walk us through an example of kind of what you're giving up on the fixed rate yield versus what the floating rate is for the customer, and then what you're getting in fee income for that particular loan?
Sure, David. We'll walk through that. I think what's key about this, coming from Wachovia Wells Fargo, the larger organizations really don't do anything fixed in their commercial area. Now, you know, we're never going to be that dramatic about it, but we do call on customers who really like the variable rate and the interest rate swap, and so we think it's a good product for our customers. But I'll have Mark run through the mechanics and the math on it for you. Mark?
Sure. We typically, you know, the swap profit in there, we target a level which ends up being about 2% of the loan amount up front. Obviously, we're swapping out a fixed rate for floating. These deals are happening anywhere from, I would say, 175 over credit spread, LIBOR to, say, 225-ish, and the yield you're giving up then, you can look at, you can look at the 7- or 10-year FHLB advance rates, and, you know, the same credit spread would apply there.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Okay. Thank you. And then I guess with regards to the mortgage loan pipeline, I know you commented that, it would be down somewhat in the fourth quarter, just given where rates are. What are your expectations for like gain on sale? Do your gain on sale, I think, is pretty healthy this quarter. What are you expecting, for a gain on sale in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't expect it to be as strong in the fourth quarter, just simply because production is going to be down. And I would say it's, while it is somewhat rate driven, now that we've moved into a purchase market, there's some seasonality impacts that, we wouldn't have seen in prior years, as that refinance business has dried up. I think the combination of those two will drive to a lower expectation from a secondary sales perspective.
Okay. That's helpful. And then I guess lastly, in the release you had mentioned that one of the pressures on the yields of commercial loans was from the Shared National Credit growth. Could you just talk a little bit about that? How much Shared National Credits do you have outstanding, and what are the average sizes?
Mark, I'll let you comment on that.
Sure. Right now, there's about 40 outstanding, and they range anywhere from 2 to 15.
Okay. Is this different than the regional commercial real estate portfolio?
It is. This is, this is C&I lending.
Okay.
Lending to, we're lending deals you would recognize. For example, we're in the Heinz deal, which, there's $28 billion deal, $12 billion debt, the balance being basically equity, and we have a piece of that deal. That would be an example.
And the key there, Damon, is the Ray Rock, our risk-adjusted return on capital, is very strong there, and we underwrite all the credit ourselves.
Okay. What's the total balance outstanding?
Approximately 40.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant 40 loans were outstanding. No, so it's $40 million is outstanding?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
On the entire Shared National Credit, right?
Okay. Okay. All right. That's okay. Not bad at all. And is this like a portion of your portfolio that you're going to look to expand going forward?
Damon, we look at things opportunistically based on our risk-adjusted return on capital models, and so we'll continue to look at this business. You know, obviously, we want to size it appropriately in terms of the individual deal sizes we're engaged in, and then as a percent of the portfolio, you know, we're mindful about keeping this within a reasonable limit, like we've done with our commercial real estate business.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, that's all that I had. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Eric Grubelich of Highlander Bank Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey, Eric.
A couple of questions, maybe just a follow-up on the one Damon just asked you about the syndicated national credit. So could you maybe quantify it a little bit more in terms of what you think a reasonable limit is for that type of loan in your portfolio?
We talking about size of individual loans?
No. I meant just like aggregate. So you're at about $40 million now. Is this something that's going to be like a 400, 10 times the size or 2 times the size, do you think?
I think we think about it in terms of roughly 15% of our commercial loan book, 10-15% of our commercial loan book. We're nowhere near that. But it also depends. We have to look at a lot of opportunities to do a deal there. So it really depends on more about what the market's really going to give us.
Okay. No, that's fair enough. I think I think people like me and perhaps others look at product like that as really a – it's maybe a nice ad from a Ray Rock, but, the customer relationship standpoint, maybe there's not a lot of value added there. So I just wanted to understand, how big it could get.
Right.
Fine. So the second question I have is, everybody's always asking banks about the pipeline on the loan side. Maybe a question for Bill. What's your pipeline look like on the people side? You've staffed up a lot in different areas. What does that look like going forward in terms of the businesses you want to add to?
Yeah, we're very opportunistic. If you think about our financial advisory model, we have about 5 of those now. We want to take that to 10, and it's just a function of recruiting talented financial advisors. On the mortgage side, Brandon told you we're around 17 now. If we can find the right people, we would take that up to 25 or so on our current footprint and not have to increase anything in his back office. But again, those are, we just talked about people that are basically entirely commissioned, and so they pay for themselves very quickly. On commercial bankers and commercial banking teams, we're always in the market looking for A talent. And again, that's really a function of how well we're doing recruiting, and we continue to be opportunistic there as well.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks for the call. And then maybe just one, if I may, for Eric Newell. Just to clarify, you ripped through the numbers kind of quickly. The did you say you added $50 million of floating loans, or you put on $50 million of fixed to floating hedges in the quarter?
It's a combination of both of them.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then if I looked at your portfolio, at least maybe on an average balance in the, when I'm looking at the press release, so maybe, I don't know what's the right way to look at it, but, if I look at all of your loans, like particularly on the commercial business and the commercial real estate, where would you put the percentage of those portfolios as either originated as a floating rate loan or where you've put some type of swap on it or forward starting swap?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, Eric, so we'll probably have to get back to you on that one. I mean, we looked at it from a total portfolio basis where there's, floating rate, variable rate, and fixed rate, but I'd rather kind of hone in on the commercial portfolio for you.
Yeah, so, but if I understood you correctly, you said you're, I guess, theoretically still liability sensitive, but you talked about like a I think you said like a crossover point in year two. Is that, did I hear that correctly, where you'd be more asset sensitive?
You did. So when we do our modeling, we look at year one and year two prospectively, and we look at it on a static balance sheet basis. So anything that rolls off rolls back on at the new rate, whatever we're doing for the interest rate scenario. And the reason that we do that is because growth can obviously influence net interest income dollars. So by keeping that static balance sheet and then looking out at year two, you get some benefit from a sensitivity standpoint based on the swaps that we put on in 2012, because they become effective in the second half or the end of that second year of the model. And what it does is it increases the duration of our liabilities, and so therefore, when looking at it on a static balance sheet basis, NII dollars increase when rates are, higher than where they are now, which is not something we've reported in the past.
Okay, I got you. Thanks for. I know that's like a complicated issue, but thanks for trying to simplify it for me. I'm done. Thanks very much for answering the questions.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. Our next question comes from Matthew Breese of Stern AG. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Matt.
Just I had one quick question on the provision and the reserves. Obviously, you guys have a very strong pace of growth here, and I'm just curious, as it relates to the reserve, is there a coverage ratio that you guys are thinking of that we should hold in our models?
Scott Bechtel, I'll let you take that.
Our provision and ALLL coverage is really driven by the risk profile or various segments in the portfolio. We've got no specific target for an overall coverage ratio, but where we sit today, we feel we're very comfortably and adequately covered, particularly against the NPLs.
Okay, so you feel there is the need to continue to build it, or you feel safe where it is?
We're comfortable with the coverage ratio right now.
All right, and then stepping back, Bill, for you, I would just love to hear your thoughts on overall M&A and the appetite for to do deals, in your markets or beyond.
Yeah, Matt, it's kind of the same issue. You know, we trade at 116 of tangible. And so trying to make math work on earn back and with dilution and all that is difficult. So that makes that a less attractive capital deployment tool relative to others. That said, we always have conversations. We're aware of the opportunities in our market. And, that's our view really is the same there.
That's all I had. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Bill Crawford for any closing remarks.
Okay, well, again, thank you for your interest in our company. And if you have any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to call me or Marlee Shaw, our head of investor relations. Hope everybody has a great day. Thanks.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.